I also want to just introduce to you, not that he needs an introduction, but for those of you that didn't make the annual meeting, we have a new elder that's come on to be serving for the next 3 years, and that's John Zifku. John, if you'd stand. And so keep John in your prayer, and we appreciate to have him come on board our church council. Well, we are looking today, and you would have received a fill-in sheet when you came in this morning. If you want to take that out and fill it in, take these thoughts home with you today. I want to talk to you today about reaching the next generation. Reaching the next generation. Our theme this year is focus, single focus, this one thing I do. And we want to reach out. We want to see people come to faith in Christ. That's part of our mandate. It's probably the main mandate that the church has, to share the good news with people. We're to do it 24/7 through our jobs, through our neighborhoods, wherever we are. We're all witnesses. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit to do that. But then corporately, together, we reach out. And Sunday mornings is one of the avenues. It's a worship service. It's a time when we come together as a church, but it's also a time when we invite those to come in from the neighborhood that listen on the radio to come and be part of us. And so there's different ways we reach out. We're feeling very much that the Lord wants us to focus, to reach out to the next generation, to reach out to children. And I hope that you will catch the vision of that this morning. It's my goal, my prayer. I've been asking the Lord, help me to share your heart with this people, and that we would receive what God wants to say to us. I think it'd be important if we all just stand right now and just put your hand on your heart. Now, this is a physical heart, but we also have a spiritual heart. And so we're putting our hand on our spiritual heart. I want you to speak right out loud, because I want us a prayer to open our hearts to the Lord. Dear Jesus, I open my heart to you this morning. Would you implant your word and your truth? Help me to receive your vision this morning. And may I act on it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. The first fill-in point on your outline is no one saw the potential in the young boy Jesus. No one saw the potential in the young boy Jesus. Matthew 13:54. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James, Josie, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us?" Where did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house." Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So here's Jesus, the Son of God. We celebrate his birth at Christmas. We know he's God manifest in the flesh. But Jesus came as a baby who had to grow in wisdom and knowledge. And the scripture said he did grow in wisdom and knowledge. And I take from these scriptures, as Jesus was growing up, no one stood back and went, wow, look at this young lad. Now, I'm sure he was distinguished in many ways. We know at 12, The leaders in the temple were surprised at the knowledge that Jesus had. But this portion of scripture tells us that Jesus, that won't happen again. You think about taking your phone off, but you don't think about taking your watch off. But none of these people were overly impressed with the young boy Jesus, the teenager Jesus. At 30 years of age, he comes and he's teaching. They're amazed. Ooh. Where did he get this wisdom? Where did he get this knowledge? How is he doing these miracles? But they didn't see it coming. In fact, they were very offended at him, thinking, you know, who does he think he is? He's sort of uppity here. He's sort of putting on airs here. And it even says in another place that even his brothers did not believe in him at first. And so I just want you to see that here is a child, the Son of Man, who had such great potential and that was going to save the world from their sins that we celebrated here this morning, and yet they didn't see the potential in him. Now, if that's true of Jesus, what about the people around us? What about the children we just sent off down to kids' church? What about the young people that are going to the youth group? What potential do they have? I think back about the youth group I grew up in Mount Zion Church in Hamilton, and there was about 25, 30 of us, and we were a crazy group. Really, we were. I think back now and the things we did and the things we got involved in, and I marvel at the patience of our pastor at that time to work with us. And yet I look at that youth group today, and the vast majority, many are in ministry. Many are, they're all pretty well involved in church, whether it be in a, you know, just a capacity in a church of, they may have a job and may not have gone into the ministry in that way, but they're involved in leadership in the church. And I see and I marvel at how God transforms us and changes us and the potential that's in us all. So I just want to lay that first foundation for us, is that there is so much in our young people. We miss it. We don't see it. We see a little guy running around here and we're saying, oh, I wish they'd catch that little guy and not let him run in the church. Or, you know, they're a little man, maybe rambunctious in children's church, or, you know, and the workers are trying to do their best to keep order. You know, and yet I wonder what the potential is in that child and what God wants to do. And our responsibility to nurture and to encourage and to pray for and to bring forth the potential that's in every young person that's in our congregation. The second fill in is this. The disciples didn't see the value of children. As Jesus went about his ministry, it says in Mark 10, verse 13, then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. And when Jesus saw it, listen to what it says. He was greatly displeased. Jesus was greatly displeased because some of the parents were trying to get their, not children, little children, who were probably crying and squirming, and you know, there were adults there who were waiting to talk to Jesus, and Jesus was going to talk to the crowd, and here's all these little kids being ushered and pushed up into the presence of the Lord, and the disciples are saying, no, keep the children back, let the adults come up, we don't have time for this, just keep them back. And the scripture says Jesus looked at it and he was greatly displeased. It wasn't something that he was indifferent to or thought, well, maybe we should let them come and maybe we'll tolerate them right now for a bit. He didn't say that at all. He said he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." In the old King James Version, in Old English, it says, "Suffer the little children to come to me." It's another word that means allow them to come. But I sort of feel that there was a little bit of a suffering in the allowance. You know, allow them to come, and you know what? You're going to have to put up with some stuff. You know, you're going to have to suffer some things. Maybe it won't be quite the peacefulness, or maybe it won't go as quickly. You know, we're going to have to suffer through some things because we need to allow the children to come. You're going to maybe have to wait and have some patience because the Lord says, suffer the little children. Yeah, just bear with it, will you? Just, I want them to be able to come, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Now, immediately in my mind, I think, well, it's an illustration. You know, they're like the adults who come to the kingdom. And that's true. But I got to believe it's more than that. He wasn't just saying, you know, they're an example of how an adult should come. Although that is true. He's saying they're part of the kingdom of heaven. I believe as Jesus looked down and he knows the end from the beginning, he saw the potential in each one of those children. He may have seen some of those children coming and in his foreknowledge realized that after his ministry was over, they were going to grow. They were going to be part of the church. Maybe some of them were going to be great teachers in the church. Maybe some of them were going to be martyred and give their life for the Lord. I don't know what he saw in those children, but he knows all things. And he said, let them come, let them come. This is the kingdom of God. Children are not part of the church tomorrow. They're the church of today. When God sees children, he sees them as part of the church. Now, they are the leaders of the church tomorrow, but they are members of the church today. He says, let them come. Surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms. He put his hands on them and blessed them. So he said, this is the heart. This is the heart that you need to have if you're going to come to the Lord. Children are overlooked many times. Samuel was brought to the temple by his mother, and I won't go into the whole story, but she could not conceive, and she was told that she would conceive, and so she wanted her child to be used in the kingdom of God, and she brought him to the temple, and Eli mentored him, and he was just a young boy in the temple. And one day he was sleeping, and he heard his name called. And he thought it was Eli. He jumped up and ran to Eli and said, what do you want? And Eli said, I didn't call you. He said, go back to sleep. This happens a second time, and Eli says the same. On the third time, Eli finally clues in. And he says, when that happens again, he says, you say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears you. And Samuel says that on the third time, and the Lord gives him and starts to download the future to Samuel and what was going to happen. Samuel goes on to grow and be one of the greatest judges in Israel. Starting a mother who couldn't conceive and then did and then said, Lord, I give my child to you. And the prayers of Hannah, probably for her son Samuel, had much to do in the spiritual development. And to see Samuel used. But again, did they see the potential in Samuel? No, but there was a tremendous potential. They didn't see the potential in David either. He was Samuel, the same Samuel, came to anoint a king. And Jesse brings all his sons. And he brings the oldest and, you know, the ones that are trained. And And Samuel keeps saying, no, the Lord says, that's not the one. That's not the one. And finally, Samuel says, do you have anybody else? And Jesse's, well, the youngest. He's back tending the sheep. And Samuel says, bring him. And when David comes out, the Lord says, that's the one. And of course, most of us know the story. Not too many years later, as a young lad, he goes down to visit his brothers who are in the army, and Goliath is making his challenge. Everybody's quaking, but David says he has not defied the armies of Israel. He's defied the armies of the living God. Somehow David's time in the tending the sheep and writing his psalms and learning how to play the harp, and he was in the presence of the Lord. So when he came to the battleground, he saw clearly that the adults didn't see. They were afraid of Goliath's sword, comparing it with their sword. David didn't. He saw Goliath's sword, but he said, you come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you, not with a slingshot. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. So David knew, as a child he knew it. And it brought victory. I could go on and rehearse different times when God has used children. And I just pray that we will see the value of children. You'll never look at a little child again and try to dismiss them. That somehow you'll have eyes to see and say, how can I encourage them? You know, I think of my own life. Adults encouraging me when I was a young boy. Things being said to me that probably the adult just thought was an offhand remark. But it touched me. And it was an encouraging word. And I responded to it. And it planted a seed in me. We don't know how valuable we can be to children and to bring out the potential in them. And be careful how you speak around them and encourage them and speak good and speak life into them. Because here's your next fill-in. Children are the most fertile evangelism group. The most fertile evangelism group. Their hearts are so fresh, so open, so innocent, so believing, so fresh, that you say a comment to them and they'll remember it for the rest of their life. I've shared many times. I'll be sharing messages here and I'll share something that I heard a Sunday school teacher say to me when I was 8 years of age. And I've never forgotten. In fact, what I learned at 8 years of age in Sunday school is more vivid in my mind right now than what I was taught many times in Bible school. The freshness of my heart, hearing a word, believing it, acting on it. And that's what Jesus said. You know, you got to come like a child. They're open. They're fertile. They don't miss it. They grab hold of it. Now, for good or for evil, sometimes you can say a negative word that can be that. And be careful as parents. I mean, this message goes a long time, but it's not my intention this morning. But as parents, realize how important a role you have in the raising of your children. To pray for them. I was at an anchor meeting yesterday, one of the members of Anchor, who is a young father, and they are starting a new ministry. And he just said to me during one of the breaks, he said, I asked my 9-year-old son to pray for me yesterday. He said, I was putting him to bed, and he said, usually I pray for them. But he said, I was feeling down, and he said, I was feeling a little discouraged. And he said, I said to my son, you know, tonight I need your prayer. I need you to encourage me. And he said that little 9-year-old started praying for him, that he'd be encouraged. And he said, it just changed. He said, that prayer changed me. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder how many parents ask their 9-year-old kids to pray for them. Or are we always correcting them? Because I tell you, a 9-year-old has to be corrected all the time. But we can get into that. And not seeing a potential. Their prayers are important. Their prayers are valuable. That prayer could be spoken and changed. And he would, I just, not only did I enjoy the story he told me, but I thought to myself, now there's a father who's raising kids that's going to serve God. He planted something in his son. Your prayers are powerful. Daddy needs your prayers. You prayed and it encouraged me. And they're involved in a ministry that involves the whole family. And he was just, I won't go into all the details of it. But it just really stirred in me. And I thought, oh, I really appreciate that father. And how important a role he is playing in his family's life. So, hearts are soft. Matthew 18:3, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want to just bring up a chart that I gave the guys in the back. I was doing some research, the Barna Research Group, which do a lot of surveys. This is an American survey. They talk to Christians in America. And they asked him, at what age did you come to faith in Christ? 1% said 0 to 4. And before you dismiss that, I tell you, there's a lot of spiritual cognizance in a 4-year-old. But 1%, 0 to 4. From age 4 to age 14... 85% of Christians said, I came to faith between the age of 4 and 14. From 15 to 30, 10%. From age 30 on, only 4%. Now, if we want to focus and only do one thing, this one thing I do, and we're trying to reach people for the Lord, which age group would you go after? Now, we need to go after them all, because everyone can come to faith. But I tell you, the fertile ground is age 4 to 14. 85% of Christians give their heart to the Lord between 4 and 14. It's called the 4-14 window. You want to read about it. I'm wondering if we realize it as a church. I wonder if that's our focus as a church. Do we do that as an add-on rather than as a focus? Now, we run VBS here, and it's always amazing to me when we have however many children we have, and it's usually the Wednesday that they give the invitation to receive the Lord. But I've been here many times, and I've been asked to give that invitation sometimes during VBS. And there's this mob of kids in front of you, and you ask how many want to receive the Lord, their hands shoot up. Over half of them will put their hands up. Now, before you say, they're just impressionable little kids. Well, yes, they are impressionable little kids. Because their heart's open. And they believe. Unless you believe like a little child, you'll not enter in. We all have to come in that childlike faith. But they come and they believe. And I have watched people give their heart to the Lord at that age. I was 8 when I gave my heart to the Lord. It's as vivid in my mind right now. I was sitting in the congregation I was in, probably right about there. I still know where I was. The invitation to give your heart to the Lord. I was 8 years of age. I gave my heart to the Lord. Was I impressionable? Yes, I was. Was it lasting? Yes, it was. It made a difference in my life at 8 years of age. I've told the story before When we first started the church, we were meeting in the Tolman's basement. It's going way back towards the beginning. And one night, one of the people that were coming, she had about a 12-year-old daughter, and her 12-year-old daughter brought a friend with her. And at the end, it was a Sunday night. And at the end, I gave an invitation, and this little 12-year-old girl gave her heart to the Lord. And she was so excited. And then I found out that they were moving to Colorado. And I thought, I said to him, is your parents Christians? No. Do you go to church anyway? No. And I remember having this sinking feeling in my heart. Oh, isn't that too bad? Here she is. She's 12. She's given her heart to the Lord. Now she's moving to Colorado with her family. It's going to be lost. Foolish me. It won't last. No support, no encouragement. Obviously, this is what happened tonight. What effect will it have? Until 6 years later, Kay and I are at the Stone Crock. It was either St. Jenkins, I think it was Elmira, actually, we were in. And the waitress came up to me. And she said, Pastor Ken? And I looked at her. She said, you don't remember me either, or do you? I said, no. And then she told me enough. She was a friend of the girl. And she said, I came and I gave my heart to the Lord. And we were just moving to Colorado. I said, really? And I said, well, what happened? She said, well, when we got to Colorado, she said, I kept encouraging my parents to go to church. And she said, they went to church and got saved. And she said, we just moved back. And she said, and she told me the church they were attending in Elmira. And I'm thinking, wow. Oh, ye of little faith. I'm telling you, when a child gives their heart to the Lord, this is not just something, they're just impressionable. They are impressionable. That's why it has such a powerful effect. The seed of the gospel goes into their heart. They believe it and it transforms them. I have seen kids come to Sunday school and their parents do not serve the Lord and it changed their whole life. And there's probably, if I took the time to stop and asked how many of you first came to the Lord through Sunday school and your parents weren't saved, there'd be a lot of hands that would go up. And how did it change your life? You would know and be able to tell the story. It's a very fertile time. You know the world treasures children? Nebuchadnezzar, which was a type of the world, came in and captured Israel and took them off bondage. Who did he take? He took the children and the smartest and the brightest of the youth. And he took them to Babylon and he put them in their schools and he gave them new names and they taught them a new culture. And Daniel was one of those kids. And what we call the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were young men, but they purposed in their heart they would not defile themselves with the king's meat, it says. And they served God, and Daniel went on to be a tremendous influence in Babylon. But they wanted to indoctrinate them in their schooling and in the music. So much so, even the three young men, when the music played, they were to bow down. And I tell you, when I look at the culture today, and I get separated from it because I'm not into that, but when I listen to lyrics or I watch an award program, and I'm thinking, whoa, is that what our young people are listening to? Is that what the world's trying to indoctrinate them into? How ungodly are the lyrics? How ungodly? And I'm thinking, man, I hope our young people aren't listening to this. And yet, many times we are. And so what we need to arise and be like the children of Daniel and the three young men who would not defile themselves, and they stood for God, and they stood out, and they were willing to go to the lion's den. They were ready to go to the fiery furnace, and God delivered them and honored them through it all. But we need to encourage our young people. They have strength that we don't realize. And if you're here and as a young person, you can stand out in your school and be a witness far more than what you think you can be if you'll just trust God and honor him. So here's your last fill-in. Have you considered the importance of reaching children? Reaching the next generation. Have you considered the importance of it? As someone said, the church is always one generation from being eradicated. If the next generation doesn't catch the message, the church always ends. Now we know it won't, because the God has ordained the church. And after generation after generation after generation, the next generation has been reached. When I was a teenager, it was the Jesus movement in the late 1960s. And what a move. What a move. Young people swept into the kingdom of God. We need another move of the Holy Spirit like this. But reaching children. If we're going to focus, we should focus on children. And so that's what we're doing, folks. And you've heard about it. We're trying to find ways, how do we reach the children of our community? Now, some of are coming because of you're inviting them, and, you know, children of our parents. But what about reaching those that are, is there a way to reach out and touch the children of our community? And we've been sharing, yes, there is. And we have purchased playground equipment that's similar to what you would find in McDonald's, a playground. Now, why does McDonald's spend all that money when the kids are coming in for hamburgers? Because they know those kids are going to say to mommy and daddy, I want to go back there. I want to go back. They know that the parents want a place to go. Why? We just bought some used equipment. I believe it was out of an office building. Why would the people in the office building spend all this money to put a playground in? Because they know if the kids will come to the playground, then the other people will come to the businesses that are in the building. And so we have purchased this equipment. Pastor Larry talked about it. It's out of a company in BC. They are flying two people in tonight. They're coming in. And we're going to be assembling that equipment starting Monday morning, downstairs. And if you haven't had a chance to walk through and see what's happened down there, you'll be excited, because we're focusing. We want to reach children. We realize that this is probably the most effective way we could invest, that we could invest in the next generation, that we need to be on the cutting edge. If the world does it, if Nebuchadnezzar can do it, if McDonald's can do it, why hasn't the church, why don't we come alert and say, you know what? This is a means for us to reach the community. So the goal is, and the plan is, once this equipment is installed, that it'll be open to the community Tuesday to Friday from 9:30 to 11:30. And it's parental supervised, that children from the community, parents from the community, come in, bring their children for free, to come and play and sit and have a coffee at our new Jelly Bean Cafe downstairs. And new chairs and new things. And Deidre Smith and those that are working with her have done a tremendous job at decorating and painting and planning, and going to use the equipment, of course, during our own children's ministry on Sunday and on Wednesday and so forth. But it's going to be beyond that. We're going to reach out to our community. And this is not new with us. We have visited many churches that are doing this And they all have said, this is the greatest means. One church we talked to, and she said, most people that come to the church started by coming to our playground. And so it's just a means to an end. It's a means to reach out. And so the challenge is for us to catch this vision and go forward to what the Lord wants us to do and accomplish. The verse here in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Investing in the life of a child is an important way. We need to invest today for tomorrow. And so that's our goal. That's what we want to do. Now, I want to give you a very practical way for you to be involved. And if the ushers and those that are, I would just hand out to you a form that we have put together. So if you guys at the back, whoever has these, we'll start handing these out. I'd like to give a card and this pledge card to everyone that's here over 18. Every person that's over 18, and if you're younger and want to take it, you're welcome. But I want everyone to take a card and to take the pledge card. Because there's a practicality to it. There's something we need to do in order for us to be able to do this. As you can understand, this equipment is not cheap. The one that we're putting in downstairs was $40,000. The other playground equipment that we got was used new is $60,000. So, should we spend that much money on that? Well, what else would we spend it on? What better place could you spend it? How could we be more effective to reach this community? Where is there more fertile ground to spend this money? And the devil always wants to say, that's too much, that's too much, that's too much. Don't do that, that's too much. Don't do anything. Just keep doing what you're doing. He wants to keep us stymied. But if we're going to invest and see people won to the Lord, you know, that we have prayerfully considered this. The church council have prayed and considered this. We realize that this is something that we believe the Lord is leading us to. And you know what? It's not a hard thing if we all do our part. And so the way we have at this point in time, with the equipment we have purchased and just the remainder left from doing the back addition, this is on the high side, but about $200,000. At this point, we're about $180,000 on a line of credit that we believe that the Lord would want us to retire by the end of this year. And back in 2007, we had about $140,000 left, and we were about half the size we are now. And in 2007, we said, we want by the end of this year to retire this entire indebtedness. And I won't take the time now, but so know the story. On New Year's Eve, the last $1,000 came in for us to retire that total indebtedness. So I know that this is not impossible. This is actually easy if we all catch the vision and everyone does their part. Because if everyone does their part, then it's easy. It's not equal giving. It's equal sacrifice. And some can do more than others. But everyone can do something. Now, I won't embarrass the person by telling you who. But when we shared this at our meeting last Sunday afternoon, at our business meeting, we shared a little bit what I'm sharing here. And that saying, you know, if we had 200 people give $1,000 and invest in a child, that, you know, we could do this. And one person came up to me, an older person on a fixed income, and the person said to me, you know what, I think I could maybe give $50 a month, and over the next 10 months, you know, I could give, you know, $500 towards it. And then later on in the week, I got a call from the same individual saying, you know, I was home and I was looking at my budget and I was seeing what I could do, and said, you know what, I can give $100 a month. I can give $1,000. I'm going to sponsor a child for $1,000. And I'm going to give $100 a month. And now here's a person on a fixed income who's believing the Lord, working her budget. And I know God's going to bless that person. I know that she's going to be enriched by her giving. I know that God is, you can't outgive God. And I know that there's going to be some miracles happen in her life that she's going to be excited about. But regardless, she's not giving to get. She's giving because she had a heart, I want to reach a child. I want to be part of this. I want to give $1,000 towards this. And so I don't believe that this is beyond anyone if you catch a vision. But then again, all of our circumstances are different. Some people can sponsor 10 children. Some can sponsor 5 children. I wanted to put it in a form that as we give, we realize why we're giving. We're giving to invest in the next generation. Somebody invested in this church and made the chairs available here that you're sitting on. Somebody back, and we were here, Kay and I were here, and many of you have been here, and you know when we invested in building this building in 1990 so we'd have a place. Well, we're believing the Lord is stretching us and moving us on out. And now it's time for us to invest. And those of you that have come in, and maybe you're newer to the church, and you say, I want to be part of this church. I want to be part of the future. I want to see souls won for the Lord. I want to see the potential in children. I'm not going to be blinded. I want to see how valuable children are. And I'm going to invest. This is what I want you to do. I want you to take these home with you. There's a pledge card here where you can put your name and info. And it says, I will invest so many dollars in reaching the next generation. What you feel you could give, whether it's a one-time gift or whether this is what you want to give over the next 10 months. And then I will give so much per month for the next 10 months. You know, if you gave $100 a month, $25 a week, which is a little, you know, that's a month of Starbucks coffee. A little cheaper for Tim Hortons, but if you go to Starbucks, 25, and you go every day, that's what you're paying. Or you can buy a coffee every day, or you can see a soul won to the Lord. You can invest in the next generation. And so I want you to consider it. And I don't want you to feel any pressure from us. The scripture says, you know, we're to be cheerful givers. And so we're presenting the vision, and we're trying to do as clearly and as forcefully as we can. But the giving is in the hearts of people. And so what I want you to pray this week, take these, put it on your refrigerator. Ask the Lord. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What would you want me to pledge? And believe that the Lord will enable you by the end of the year to be able to pay. And I think we'll be rejoicing at the end of the year to say, you know what? We're debt-free. Not only have we paid all the playground equipment off, but we are debt-free. And we can then see what God has for us as we move into the future. And so that's our heart today. That's the message, and that's the practical application. Would you stand with me this morning? Now, the other thing is the children's ministry, and I know Deidre's going out right now. They have a table at the back that you could sign up or get more information on working with children. We need children's workers. We need, when the classes are dismissed, that there are people going out to impart to the lives of kids. And we need volunteers during the week, Tuesday to Friday, that would say, I'll come in for those 2 hours. And I'll sit, I'll either work in the cafe to make coffee for the mothers that are coming in, the parents that are coming in. So there's many applications here. What we give in a practical way financially, what you could give of your time going forward. But find all the information at the back. You won't miss it. That's the table with all the balloons. Shall we pray together? Lord, I've shared what I feel, Lord, you have laid on our heart. And Lord, I just present it to this people that you have called us together to come and gather in this place. And I ask, O Lord, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would just lay on each person what they should do in response. Knowing that, Lord, whatever you lay on their heart, you will enable them and then bless them abundantly for their response. So, Lord, we're excited about the future. We're excited about the children that are going to come to faith. We're excited about reaching into this next generation that your gospel will continue. Help us to do our part, Lord. Help us to suffer the little children to come to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.